everyone. This is PT Isles, the All Islanders panel discussion show presented by my Isles blog. I'm Joe Bono, and a couple new faces join us for our off-season summer edition. They are the hardest working podcast duo in baseball right now. You know them from the Put It in the Podcast podcast. It's Jesse Funk and Greg Nimzik. Gentlemen,
how's it?
Welcome to PT Isles. Welcome to Isles Block. How you doing?
Doing good.
Good to be here.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
I'm excited. I mean, we've been busy with baseball, so it's nice to, I guess, take a step back and do some hockey.
Yeah, actually focusing on our other teams.
Yeah.
And we're all in great moods because the Mets played this afternoon and swept the Colorado Rockies and now are currently four games ahead of the Washington Nationals. So we're in good mood to do this summer edition of PT Isles. As always, our very lighthearted topics for this summer edition are on the left-hand side of the screen, and you can follow along. And obviously interact with us on Twitter with hashtag PT Isles. So guys, let's start out a week from last Tuesday. Billy Joel closed out the Coliseum, 3-hour-plus show. I was there. Special appearances by Paul Simon, Kevin James, who can surprisingly play the piano. I did not expect that from Paul Blart Mall Cop to play the piano so well. You know, I think a lot of people that were there and saw the video that I tweeted out, they got chills when the Let's Go Islanders chant kind of rang out spontaneously, organically. I expect there to be some Islanders gear. I expected to be a couple jerseys, hats, but I was blown away. I mean, I saw Casey Cizikas shirts. I saw Cal Clutterbuck jerseys. I could be wrong, but I don't know if this would happen at any other arena with any other fan base. Jesse, I mean, could you imagine if they were closing down the Garden, would people be dressed up in Knicks and Ranger gear? I just don't see it. There was such an attachment to this building with this fan base.
Definitely not. If they were closing down the Garden, you would see suits and ties. Like, that's what the Garden is for anything. And I feel like the Kevin James thing playing the piano, that doesn't shock me that much. I feel like you see him in, like, the King of Queens, like, doing, like, stuff, like karate kicks. Like, for some reason, that just didn't shock me. He's a sneaky guy.
Versatile.
Yeah,
Renaissance
very
man.
Sneaky. But, yeah, I mean, I saw a few people on who posted pictures on Twitter, and they were, like, scraping, like, Islander signs up in, like, the 300s that were still there. They were scraping them with, like, a razor blade or, like, something. So, I mean, we're savages. We're kind of like savages. I mean, we did the whole stealing license plates. We're just a very dedicated fan base and probably the best fan base in hockey.
Greg?
Yeah, I mean, I have to agree with that last statement there. Definitely the best fan base in hockey. But were there any reports of stolen seats? I didn't even know about it. I didn't hear about it.
I mean, during the playoffs, they were falling out by themselves. So you didn't even have to steal them. They were just kind of, you know, falling apart. I mean, if the place looked pretty much, I mean, outside of the banners being down, there was only one banner left, that the Billy Joel banner. Other than that, the interior was pretty much still, you know, your orange, blue, and white for the Islanders. I tell you what, though, as much as you love the place, when you're inside in your seat, even if it's a creaky, falling-apart seat in a dilapidated arena, it is still one of the best views from any arena I've ever been in. The acoustics are amazing, but when you're trying to get to your, you know, aisle, when you're trying to get to your gate, you can't move. These corridors are the smallest thing, and these poor women that have to go into these men's, like, I've never had to wait on a men's bathroom line unless I'm at the Coliseum. Yeah. At the Coliseum, I will wait 10 minutes. I think he started Billy the Kid, and I was like, you know, I'm like, wait, we're still waiting, and it's like, dun 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 dun, and it's like, there's nowhere to go. I have to wait, because it was no song where it was going to be a break where there wasn't a line. So as much as we love the Coliseum, I think you get reminded as to why it's not a bad thing that they're moving into a new building come this fall.
Quick question. What did he close out with?
Closed out with Only the Good Die Young. He had like five songs in the encore. He started with Moving Out, which was very apropos, very symbolic. Yeah. And then he closed out. You know, the Piano Man is his kind of close out to the set list prior to the encore. And then he kind of comes back and does still rock and roll. And me, I mean, the guy hasn't made any new songs in 2020. It's like the Islanders dynasty, you know. It's like the 86 Mets and the Islanders dynasty. It's like, you know, no playoff series wins, no more great moments. You just keep on replaying the hits from 20, 30 years ago, and the people kind of eat them up. But Islanders are moving out, and they are going to Barclays Center. And going to Brooklyn means that Islander fans are going to have to be prepared to spend Brooklyn prices. So I have season tickets this year, but if you're aiming to buy single game tickets, this story we had in Isles Block back in early July, be prepared for some sticker shock. Barclays Center is using a tool called dynamic pricing, which causes ticket prices to fluctuate based on the day of the game, the time, the opponent, and they have what some other teams, even the Mets, have done it in the past. They're categorizing their tickets as gold, silver, or platinum. So, you know, they could be playing the Nashville Predators in October, and that same ticket that's $45 that night could be, you know, $80 when they play the Montreal Canadiens 2 weeks later. That's how it's going to be. I went online that day and looked at Islander Ranger games, the regular season games. The last ticket, the last seat in the last row of the upper bowl was $275. So Greg, you tell me, because I think any Islander fan is familiar with, you know, going on StubHub last second and getting, you know, four tickets for $12 and paying more in processing fees than you actually pay for the tickets. Are Islander fans going to go for this? Are they going to just shell out the money to go see this team in Brooklyn?
I mean, I really don't know. I know, speaking to my dad's been an Islander fan since 72, since they started, and he's gone to games every year, and he's already said he's not going to a single game.
Mm.
So, I mean, that could just be my dad, but I feel like that's a lot, like with a lot of the older fans out on Long Island, I feel like that's going to be the case. I feel like the younger fans will definitely still go, but still, the younger fans, how are you going to get there? Like, especially if you're not 18 or older, or you don't have a license, or not even a license, but enough money to actually go to these games. I've been to every opening night since, for the past, I think since whenever Chara first went to Boston, and his first game in Boston was against the Islanders at a home opener. I don't think I'm gonna be able to go this year. I was looking up tickets already, and they're absurd. They're crazy.
It's going to be a more corporate type setting. They even have the, you know, the demographics, the breakdown as to where the season ticket holders were coming, and a lot of them were coming from Manhattan, a lot of them were coming from Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. For a Long Island fan base, regardless of the commute being from 15-minute car to a 45-minute hour-long train, it also is going to cost money now for them to get to the game on the LIRR. So you add that to, you know, ticket prices where, I mean, I've done it. I've gone on StubHub the day before a game, a couple of days before the game, and got great seats for $25, $30 on a Tuesday, Thursday night. Those days, Jesse, seem to be over.
Yeah, I mean, I actually lost connection, guys, so I'm just joining back in. So we're talking about the Barclays and the money. All right. Yeah, I mean, it's ridiculous, the prices. I know they're just absurd. How much was opening night? Did you guys see it yet?
It was the cheapest ticket I saw for individual games on opening night was well over $200. Now, I will say this. There has been a number of group sales tickets that certain organizations, the Islanders Booster Club amongst them, were allotted ticket prices that range from $95 to $135 range. But on Ticketmaster, if you go there, you're looking at $200 plus for an opening night hockey ticket when there's 82, is, you know, there's 41 of these games.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't imagine paying that for a Met game in the upper deck, which is the equivalent.
I mean, Met tickets aren't, I mean, I know, speaking for like Greg and I, we only spend a lot of money for opening day. But for, I mean, yeah, I know, Greg, you go every year to opening night with your dad, and I guess you're not going this year.
I said that when you lost connection, but yeah, I'm not going to be able to make it this year because I'm not going to be able to afford that. I'm 23. I just graduated college. I got debt, man. Like,
yeah,
I don't have money for an opening night. I'll go against some random team.
Yeah, but is that random team, like, is that also going to be expensive? That's the thing. What we're going to have to look at.
It's going to be more expensive. Definitely, yeah. It might not going to be $200, but paying $50-$60 to go see a regular season game, I mean, that's crazy.
We were spoiled. I mean, as Islander fans, we were really spoiled at the Coliseum, where you could go and pay $15 and watch the team.
Yeah. And now this is going to be the case even if they're like if they somehow aren't good next year, this the prices aren't going to change. Like people might sell them cheaper on StubHub.
No, I think this first
Coliseum.
Yeah, this first year tickets are going to be really expensive, I think, because they're in a new building, and that's what any team, I feel like, when they move into a new building, the tickets are up. I want to see the tickets in 2 years, like not this season, next season. I want to see where the ticket range is, because I know the Nets who play in that building, and like who really cares about the Nets, their tickets aren't crazy expensive.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the thing is this the price of having a competitive franchise that's going to be good year in and year out?
I mean,
you know, that's what it comes down to as well. It's like what, you know, pick your poison here. Do you want a lousy team that you can get in to go see for, you know, $12 to $15 any night you want, or are you willing to pay $50-$60 to go see a team that has a legitimate shot of winning a Stanley Cup and being in the postseason?
Yeah, I'll
take the winning team. I'll take the winning team and watch from home.
Yeah, I don't hear Blackhawk fans.
All right. So this next story, you know, I think we all were hoping that this was going to be the case, but it was nice that it was announced that EA Sports' 2016 version of their NHL game, that the Islanders' signature yes chant, well, actually I guess it's the Daniel Bryan signature yes chant, will be an audible part of the video game, which will be released in just a couple of weeks, but without Patrick Kane. Obviously Patrick Kane in some trouble, so he was yanked off the cover. It was supposed to be him and Jonathan Toews, now just Jonathan Toews. Somehow Kane got himself in trouble in Buffalo at night. I didn't know that Buffalo had a nightlife to get in trouble with.
Yeah, this is the second.
So
that taxi cab driver of a few years back too in Buffalo. He shouldn't go back there.
And he's an American superstar. I don't want these things to happen to our you know, our guys that wear the red, white, and blue and we root for in the Olympics and the World Championship of Hockey. Anyway, the yes chant can be heard after Islander goals, obviously, and also heard after Islander wins, and the entire team will go to center ice and raise their sticks just like they did during the regular season. I got two questions for you. First question is, do either of you still play video games?
Way too often.
Way too often.
Sports games, or you guys are into other stuff? Because I'm kind of well beyond that.
I'm mainly sports, but like I just got the new Batman game. The new Batman game's awesome, so definitely check that out. But yeah, mostly sports. I think.
For me, I haven't played video games in a long time. Like I grew up on like Sega Genesis playing NHL 94. I mean, that to me is like an iconic game. That was the game that, you know, for people that have seen the movie Swingers, you know, that's what they're playing in Swingers with Vince Vaughn. And, you know, he's like, it's not so much me as it is Gretzky. He's good, you know, and those lines. So NHL 94 for me was like the game. I haven't played any of these games, although, I mean, the graphics are just incredible. Like, the fact that I think so many Islander fans were excited to see this footage, not necessarily was just because of the yes chant, it was because you knew they were going to do such a perfect job of showing what Barclays Center was going to look like. Yep. And people still haven't all seen it from all the different angles, and to see what a sellout crowd at Barclays, even with the obstructed seats, would look like. I know for me, that's what I got a kick out of seeing. And I was kind of blown away by how good the graphics look.
Yeah, and going back to before, because I lost connection again. I still play sports games. It's mainly the sports games that I do play. I do want to say this. It's the only way I could see my teams win the championship. besides the Giants. I mean, and it's exciting when I see Tavares lift the cup up over and over and over again, and you have, like, Patrick Kane on the Islanders. It's great.
Got him in on the salary cap. Part two of my question was how many years do you guys think this yes chant has? Like the legs, like some of these, like the Ranger goal song. Say what you will about the Rangers, but they got a pretty awesome goal song. The Blackhawks have had the you know, that jingle from the Amstel Light commercials now, and why change it when you win 3 cups in 6 years? How long do you envision this yes chant happening for? I mean, this year, absolutely, but can it go much longer than that?
I give it pretty much. I mean, I'm going to say it's going to last until the Islanders aren't making a run anymore, or there's a turnover in like in the players on the team. But I can also see it like fizzling out after this year at Barclays, and if the attendance does drop, I can see that. And if it is a more corporate setting, I can also see that.
That's a good point. The corporate setting point is good because you're not going to have the traditional season ticket holder Islander diehard base maybe there for every single game. So with some guy, you know, coming from his corporate job in suit and tie with a client next to him going to stand up and do the yes chant after goals, I guess that's to be seen.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it really depends, I think, also on how the Islanders play as a team. If we're struggling and we're getting blown out and we finally like score a goal, it's like, then you'll probably have to go through yes, yes, yes if we go through a big goal drought. But I think it depends on the team. The chant will
and last year the players embraced it so much. We had shirts. Barstool Sports had shirts. Everyone else had shirts, hats. The fan base embraced it. Daniel Bryan embraced it. The players embraced it. We'll see if – I mean, I think certainly this year the yes chant is safe, but I don't know whether or not it has the longevity of some of the other classic, you know, goal songs and kind of things that happen in a hockey arena after goals.
We'll bring this up. In 3 years, is the chant still with us or no?
I would lean towards no.
Yeah, same here.
Me too.
I would lean towards no. Okay, I'm glad we settled that. this next story was first reported by the New York Times, a great, great article, a lot of fun. So as the Islanders prepare for their first season in Brooklyn, the club has several job vacancies at Barclays Center, and perhaps one of the more notable job listings is for a Zamboni driver. The posting seeks an assistant manager, arena operations, who knows how to operate a Zamboni and maintain the ice surface to NHL standards. Now, the team is not just looking for anyone. The ad says that the job requires 5 years behind the wheel as an ice resurfacer and 3 years working at a hockey arena, and you need a college degree.
Wow.
Why do you need a college? I mean, this is nothing against the Zamboni job, but why do you need a college degree?
I don't know, but this article blew my mind. I got really into this article. I started looking up Zamboni prices just see how much they actually are. Like, how does one begin a Zamboni driving career? That's what I like. What like are you like? Does it, I don't know. I'm confused. My mind just can't wrap around where your career goes where you're a Zamboni driver.
I guess it got to start in the minor leagues. I guess you just started in the minor leagues, maybe just hanging around the rink and
waiting to get called up.
You need to take a test? Like, do you need to take a driving test and get, like, a license?
Especially the on your license.
Yeah. Do you start out with a permit? Is it like you work your way up?
I mean, they have a lot of faith in these guys. They have the little kids with them. You know, they're shooting out T-shirts and the Zamboni. I mean, I'm surprised. You never see – they get so close to the boards, you never see an accident.
No, never.
Well, we might this year if they're looking for a Zamboni driver like a month before the season starts or 2 months before.
I
would love to find out whether or not the Islanders got like an influx of job applications after this New York Times article. Because, I mean, I guess, you know, we're laughing at the job, but I bet you it's a job that doesn't come open a lot. I bet you it's the same guys in these arenas for 20, 30 years, you know, driving their Zamboni. So I would think that if you're anywhere in the Northeast, you know, this is the big time here. This is the National Hockey League. This is your opportunity to get the call up here. You probably send in your resume pretty quick.
No, definitely. And another thing about that article I saw that made me laugh, one of the other Zamboni drivers for one of the other teams says it's like it's a close-knit community too. Like these guys in the offseason like talk and hang out and like talk about their craft. So that just blew my mind, like the craft of being a Zamboni driver. When I watch him on the ice, it's like it seems very simple, but I want to hang out with these guys. I really want to know the quote unquote craft behind the Zamboni driving. And what do they call each other? Like a Zamboni? Like is this a Zamboni driver? Is there a name to this? I was full in on this article.
No, you're obviously really into, I mean,
you're real excited about
I'm
this.
I'm surprised you haven't gotten behind the wheel. Yeah. Or found someone online.
The Zambonis ain't cheap. I told you, I looked the prices up. They're not cheap.
Well, I mean, you need the, but you need ice for the Zamboni. Like, it doesn't help
yeah,
you if you...
that's another thing. If you're going to buy, I mean, I guess, I don't know. Where does one practice?
Well, you can drive it on the road, I'm pretty sure, because it has the wheels. And that was at the end of Dumb and Dumber, too. They did have a Zamboni. So...
My mind's just blown on this. I need answers. That's all I need.
I want them to televise the tryouts on like either Islanders TV or something like that.
That would be great.
That would be great. that is a good idea. I would watch that. Like the post interviews, like how'd you do? What'd you think? Yeah. You know, it looked like you cut the corner pretty tight right there. You missed a spot. Oh, yeah. I mean,
absolutely.
I would live tweet that.
Oh, 100%. I'd definitely tune in.
Yeah.
Now, Greg won't come to opening night, but that he would buy a ticket for, I'm sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'll try to get to opening night if I can afford it. Maybe I'll get the Zamboni job and I'll be there that way.
Yeah. Start practicing tomorrow.
Yeah. All right, guys. So let's wrap up. We started the show talking about how we're all in good moods because the Mets are right now 4 games up on the Nationals, first place in the NL East. And you look at these two franchises, Mets and Islanders, and I guess my question is, which team do you feel, maybe the Mets are going to have your heartstrings right now, maybe not so a month ago, but which team do you think has the brighter future? Which team would you say wins a title first?
That is tough.
When you email...
Or not even wins a title, gets to the Stanley Cup Final, gets to the World Series.
Yeah. I want to say this. When you emailed me this, like all the topics, I first looked at the Zamboni thing, read that article, got fully committed, and then my mind went to the Mets versus Islanders, and I honestly just don't know. Both teams are so similar with like young talent. I don't know. I'm going to say the Mets. But no, it's like I go to say the Mets, and then you know the Mets are just going to Mets it up. Where the Islanders, you feel like you haven't seen that in a while besides blowing 3-1 leads.
Yeah, I feel like the longevity, for some reason, of the Islanders seems more possible than the Mets. I mean, I think a lot of Mets fans, even though they're super ecstatic and excited as to what's happening right now, they're also thinking that, you know, when's Harvey a free agent? How are we going to pay all these guys together at the same time? You know, Wright's back injury is still there. They're collecting the insurance money. You know, next year Daniel Murphy's a free agent. They'd be able to keep this group together. So there's still the uncertainty because of the ownership. The Islanders now seem to have the ownership in place. They're going to be, you know, around the salary cap ceiling like all other teams are in the NHL. And obviously they probably have – this would be another tricky question. You know, John Tavares, you know, is he the best player in New York sports right now? He might be. The guy finished second in scoring last year, and I think he probably left a lot of points out there on the ice. Probably he should have won the scoring title. Jamie Benn with 4 points on the last day.
Yeah.
It's hard because then you look at a guy like DeGrom, and DeGrom who won Rookie of the Year, he's going to be a Cy Young finalist.
Yeah.
So you're probably going to go to Tavares. He plays every day. He's... But I don't know.
And Tavares is still, like, what, 24, 25 years old? Like, people don't realize Jacob DeGrom, like, this young pitching staff of the Mets, 27, 26. You know, really, Syndergaard is only 22-year-old. So the Islanders between, you know, it's kind of like Anders Lee. Like, everyone's like, oh, Anders Lee's a rookie. Anders Lee's older than John Tavares.
Yeah.
You know, he's kind of like the Jacob DeGrom of the Islanders in a little way. It's an interesting, as fan of both teams, I mean, I just hope both of them have a lot of success. Hockey is still such a crapshoot when you get to the postseason. While I feel like if the Mets get to the postseason, their pitching staff gives them the edge. So maybe I give the slight edge to the Mets because I feel like there's more certainty with their pitching staff in the postseason than there is any kind of playoff series in hockey.
Yeah.
I mean, future-wise, I think definitely, like you were saying, the longevity, I think the Islanders definitely have a longer span of being good, so I give them the better chance at winning. I would say, I guess, more titles, because I'm so delusional right now that I'm convinced they're going to win titles.
They're playing too many video games.
Yeah.
but I feel like the Islanders are a more complete team than the Mets are, because the Mets, they still have, like, right now they're hitting, but as Mets fans, we're not all convinced that this is going to last. Like, all this hitting, like, the pitching, everyone's convinced about. The hitting, it's improved 100%, but you know, with the Islanders, their weakness is defense on the back end, and after that, I mean, Halak's a little shaky, but not really, and you feel like you shored that up with Bryce. So, I mean, the only reason I would go with the Mets as the one that's going to win it first, I guess, is because I feel like this year could be that year, as much as I hate to say that. Because now they're going to go on a 15-game losing streak.
No, see, they're not. We said it on PTI Isles. We didn't say it on Put It in the Podcast. Two different things, Greg. Two different things. Reverse jinx doesn't work like this.
You can't jinx a baseball team on a hockey show.
Yeah.
And vice versa.
Well, I just jinxed the Islanders then, so.
Yeah. Well, guys, listen. A very successful first episode of PTI Isles. With you guys here in the year. Excited for Islander Hockey 2015-2016 at Barclays Center. Excited to be doing more of these episodes of PTIs with you guys. If you're a baseball fan, too, and you're listening or watching this, definitely check out their podcast, Put It in the Podcast. These guys crank out podcasts. Pretty much if something newsworthy happens with the Mets, they're going to have a podcast that night, something you can listen to on your commute the next morning before you listen to all your traditional radio, just two diehard Mets fans that really know their baseball. And, of course, check us out at IslesBlog is a Twitter account. Get involved in the conversation. Let you know your thoughts. Let us know some topics you want us to discuss. Hashtag PT Isles. Jesse, Greg, appreciate it. We'll talk to you real soon.
You've been listening to PT Isles, presented by IslesBlog. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at IslesBlog and tweet us your comments, questions, and topics using the hashtag PTIsles. You can watch every episode by subscribing to the IslesBlog YouTube channel or view it at nyislesblog.com. To listen to PTIsles and the IslesBlog podcast, search for IslesBlog and subscribe via iTunes.